Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight we have a horrifying tale about these three friends that venture off into the woods in the state of North Carolina to these devil's clearing, per se. Now, I'm not sure if this is a real place or not. If it is, please be mindful and avoid it at all costs. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Every rural corner of America has its share of urban legends. Abandoned churches, haunted graveyards, decrepit old houses and barns, you name it. Places that exist at the edge of our modern hyper-rational society. Places where the impossible becomes possible. Where footsteps are heard even though there's nothing there. Or where voices are heard when you are sure no one's around. Most people think these are nothing more than stories. Old yarns passed down through the ages to entertain children, or to scare off outsiders, or even just to sell t-shirts. For most people, they're all just fun little tales that capture for imagination and an otherwise boring logical existence. Hell, I myself was one of those people for most of my life. That is, until I found the Devil's Clearing. Until I dragged my friends along into the worst mistake I have ever made. It was 8 years ago when I was a sophomore at a small university in eastern North Carolina. Never a huge people person. I had my close-knit group of friends I had met during my freshman year, and to whom I stuck like glue. First, there was my dormmate, Anthony. It didn't take long to discover he shared my deep-seated love of horror movies, Halloween and all things spooky, which is something we bonded over during my freshman year. A couple of weeks after freshman orientation, he met Alexa and it was love at first sight. Naturally, she quickly became a member of our little crew. Finally, there was Richard. An unlikely addition to the branch. Richard had lived a sheltered life with a staunch Baptist parents and were more than a little socially awkward. But he was a great time on the occasions when we could bring him out of his shell. Once our sophomore year rolled around, I got an apartment off campus with Anthony and Alexa. Richard's parents would not approve of him living in off-campus housing, but that didn't change the fact that he was over at our place more often than his own. In fact, he was over at our apartment the night that I first brought up the clearing. The Devil's Clearing is a legend of the Carolinas. It's a barren spot in the otherwise dense forest, a perfect circle about 60 feet wide where nothing grows. Old-timers from the area where it is located, and I will not say more on where specifically it's located. You could do the homework on your own at your peril. Claim that the reason for the lack of growth is that it's the very spot where the devil comes upon the earth and paces back and forth, plotting evil against mankind. Different stories have been told about the clearing through the years. People say that anything left inside overnight will mysteriously end up outside the circle by dawn. Others have claimed that if you sit just outside and stay awake through the night, eventually, you will see piercing, disembodied red eyes staring at you from within. Once, someone from the local newspaper tested the theory and stayed in a tent inside the clearing overnight, and saw neither of these things. However, he claimed afterwards that he had heard someone walking in circles around his tent, but upon investigation, there was no one there. The scientific explanation put forth for the barren patch is that it's a natural salt lick which prohibits vegetation from growing in that exact spot. But to a young, restless, supernatural enthusiast like I was, that explanation was no fun. I wanted to see it for myself. Don't get me wrong, like I said before, I was the type of person to believe these were just stories. I assumed the scientific explanation was correct, but I enjoyed suspending my disbelief and imagining that there really was something out there that transcended rational understanding. So that October, the Tuesday before Halloween weekend, I suggested a trip. On Halloween weekend? Heck that! Anthony immediately replied, strolling across the living room and plopping down onto the couch next to Alexa. Me and Alexa already have our costumes ready to go, and there's at least 5 parties we plan to be at. We have literally every other weekend to go frickin' camping. Alexa turned to him with an impish smirk on her face. Oh, is that it? I think someone's just scared that a demon might molest him in his sleep. That would be about the only thing that might touch me there, Anthony replied, resulting in a quick jab to his ribs from his dearly beloved. I'll pass, Richard replied from the chair in the far corner. Watching movies and going to haunted houses and stuff is fun and all, but I'd rather not go somewhere that actually is haunted. I know y'all don't take this stuff as seriously as I do, but the devil is real and I'd rather not tempt him. Anthony shot him a nod and a look of approval. See? The good Reverend Dick is on my side. I told you not to call me that. Beside the point right now, Dickie. I shared his conversation to point out that it wasn't something we had to do. At least 2 of my friends didn't even want to go. But I wanted to check it out, and I wasn't going to take no for an answer. Guys, there are parties here every weekend, I pleaded. We always do the same old crap. Why not take advantage of the creepiest weekend of the year to do something that might actually be scary? I looked at Anthony. Besides, we all know all the real fun stuff is going to happen on Saturday. We could go out after class on Friday, spend the night, and be back here by Saturday afternoon to costume up and drink our asses off with everyone else. I think it would be fun, Alexa replied. I wouldn't mind seeing where the devil sleeps. Not sleeps, stomps apparently, Anthony replied. And if you want to go, then I guess that means I have to go too. But we will be back on Saturday so we could go nuts with everyone else. Don't worry, hun. We'll be back in time for plenty of drunken debauchery, just for you. Richard, however, still wasn't convinced. You guys have fun, but I'm going to have to take a rain check. We could have gone, just the 3 of us, but I wanted the whole gang there. Come on, Richie. You don't want to abandon us on this adventure. We wouldn't be able to go camping without your knowledge. You practically grew up in the woods. Growing up on a farm is not the same as growing up in the woods. Tell me, do you know how to build a fire? Yes. Track animals? Yeah. Navigate in the woods without a GPS? Of course. Then clearly we need you. If we went by ourselves, we may very well get lost and end up mauled by bears. Do you really want that on your conscience? He still didn't seem convinced. I continued. Besides, you know as well as we do, this spot isn't really haunted. Just some story the locals drummed up to convince tourists to get off the interstate and spend some money in the town there. Part of the fun will be us proving, for ourselves and everyone else, that it's just another place to camp. Reluctantly, Richard agreed to come along. Thus, that Friday afternoon found us packed up and on the road making the 2-hour drive to the Devil's Clearing. We arrived around dusk at what amounted to a little more than a wide space of gravel on the side of a 2-lane highway that the North Carolina Department of Transportation had apparently forgotten about over the past 50 years. A faded wood sign marked the spot. The Devil's Clearing. All who fear his wrath shall abandon this place. Super cute greeting, Alexa commented as she took a tent from Anthony out of the back of the SUV. Do you think they'll do continental breakfast here? Sarcastic comments or not, I was hyped. we were finally about to check out one of the most fabled haunted sites in the state. I had brought along a trail cam to set up outside of our tent in hopes I might actually catch something on video. Realistically, probably nothing more than a deer, but a guy can hope, right? Within minutes, we had unpacked our gear and began our march down the narrow, overgrown trail leading to the clearing. I led the way with Anthony and Alexa shortly behind, but Richard hesitated by the car, staring nervously into the woods and slightly fidgeting from side to side. "Come on, Dick. Time to go exploring," Anthony called out.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Out from over his shoulder. With a quiet, Richard slowly began trotting along behind us. It's hard to overstate my anticipation as we walked the 200 or so yards into the woods that would bring us to the clearing. It had been described online as an eerie freak of nature, a perfect circle of dead ground in an otherwise lush forest, at least 30 meters in diameter. There was never even any animal prints in the dirt, as the creatures that wandered the woods knew instinctively to never set foot inside it. Like I said before, it was probably just a bunch of smoke, but if there was a spot where I might actually see something freaky, then surely this was the place. After several minutes of walking beneath the thick shade of the pines, we finally came to the clearing itself, and well, all I could say is that I felt nothing but disappointment. There was a clearing there, sure, but what had been described as a 20-meter-wide dead zone was easily less than half that, with sprigs of grass and weeds jutting out of the woodline to leave a small patch of dirt that didn't look any different than any descended campsite you may have came across in a state park. The circle had clearly been walked through. Deer tracks were embedded in the circle straight across the middle. On the far side, a few empty Bud Light cans were slowly rusting in the twilight. "Wow, you were right, Michael. This is super spooky," Anthony remarked as he casually ambled through the clearing. "This is too wild. I don't think I'll feel safe staying here tonight." He walked over to the empty beer cans and made a big show of timidly reaching down and picking one up with his thumb and forefinger. Looking back at us, he whispered shrilly, "Do you think the devil drank these?" "Shut the hell up, Anthony," Alexa replied as she tossed the tent down in the middle of the circle. "I mean, the place is a little creepy." But it wasn't. It was just another spot in the woods. Even Richard had eased up a little, after dragging himself down the trail like a cord was trying to pull him back to the road. He now walked about more freely as he examined our lodgings for the evening. He knelt down and began examining the deer tracks, no doubt imagining himself in a stand waiting with his rifle for when the animal would return. It was at that point that we could easily chalked up the trip to a loss and walked back to the car. We could have made it back to campus just in time to hit up a few after parties and tell some funny stories about the horrifying dirt clump in the woods. But dang it, this place was famous for a reason, and I wasn't going to leave until I gave it a chance to show me what it could do. "Let's get the tents up before it gets dark," I said. The next few hours passed by like any evening camping trip. We set up our two tents, Anthony and Alexa to one, and Richard in the other with me, about 20 feet from one another in the circle. We got a small campfire going in between, by which we roasted some hot dogs on sticks and drank a few IPAs we had brought along while we made idle small talk as evening turned to full dark. As of yet, nothing out of the ordinary had occurred. I could tell Anthony was getting restless. He was very much the people person of the group, pulling him away from the house parties and bar hopping of the university over what was turning out to be nothing seemed to be getting under his skin. Maybe the poor guy is still asleep, he said, tossing his head back lackadaisically around the clearing and glancing into the darkened woods beyond. Hell, he hasn't been busy these past few years. I could use a nap too if I was him. Just give it time, I replied. Even if nothing happens, at least we could say we stayed the night and didn't get scared off. Anthony stood up and started walking towards his tent. I've got an idea, he said over his shoulder. Reaching into his tent, he rummaged around in his bag and returned holding a worn leather book. I think he might need a little pick-me-up. What the hell is that? Richard asked. Oh, nothing. Just the Book of the Dead, Anthony replied. If the devil is just being shy, maybe we could let him know he's amongst friends. Richard turned pale. Put that away. Yeah, stop screwing around, Alexa said. That's not some ancient tome. That's just some crappy book you picked up at Second and Charles. If you could buy a Bible in a bookstore, no reason this couldn't be legit too, Anthony rejoined. He held his hands above his head and began to speak in a loud, deep voice.
O Lucifer, Lord of Darkness.
Anthony, stop! Richard had stood up and was glaring at him across the fire. You're playing with forces beyond your control. Anthony grinned. Don't worry, Dick, you'll be fine. I'll put in a good word for you. He continued to beckon on the devil while waving the book over his head. Richard approached, fists clenched. I said cut it out. He walked until he was standing face to face with Anthony, who faltered under his intense stare. Okay, man, Jesus, chill out, he said. He lowered the book and Richard, mollified, turned to walk back to his seat. As soon as his back was turned, Anthony smirked and quickly yelled, Satan, reveal yourself! You son of a bitch! Richard yelled as he spun around and grabbed Anthony by the collar. He raised his fist and I jumped in to pull him back, but we all froze as a terrible howl pierced through the trees. We stood silent for what seemed like an eternity. Finally, Alexa said, what the F was that? Richard slumped backwards onto the ground, staring up into space. He was trembling. He's here, he said, his voice quavering. He's really here. With that, he jumped up and ran over to our tent. He snatched out his survival bag. Ever the outdoorsman, he brought an emergency pack and began frantically staggering into the woods. We can't stay in the circle, he said. We have to find someplace else. And with that, he disappeared into the darkness. Richard! Hey, wait, I'm sorry! Anthony called as he ran after him. He yelled back to us over his shoulder. Just stay put, I'll get him. And just like that, Alexa and I were alone, standing by the campfire. It was silent. We heard no more screeching sounds as we obnoxiously awaited the return of Anthony and Richard. Eventually, we retreated to one of the tents to collect ourselves until they came back. Sitting inside, we waited for what felt like at least an hour. My nerves were wrecked. It didn't make sense that Anthony and Richard hadn't come back yet. Where were they? Alexa was faring no better. It was obvious the mysterious scream, more like some inhuman wailing screech, had frightened her, as it had all of us. But combined with the fact that the time was ticking by and her boyfriend still hadn't come back was leaving her visibly shaken. I tried to make light of the situation, talking about the different types of birds native to the North Carolina wilderness, and how some species have piercing, ear-splitting calls. I didn't know anything about birds, but I knew she didn't either, so I figured it might help. Besides, being the only one to actually grow up in North Carolina, I think my words carried some slight degree of credibility.
You're probably right. We just got spooked, she said, easing up a bit from the tight ball she had wrapped herself in the corner. But still, where the F is Anthony? She lifted her phone above her head, trying to get a signal, but in vain. even if he can't get Richard to come back, he would have gotten irritated and given up by now. I knew she was right. Anthony had a lot of decent qualities, but patience wasn't one of them. It was easy to imagine bullheaded Richard storming off into the forest and completely ignoring Anthony badgering him. But Anthony would only keep it up for so long before he'd leave his friend to his fate and return to the beer cooler by the tent. As if by magic, we could suddenly make out the sound of footsteps approaching the tent. "See? Back already," I said, hoping the relief wasn't too obvious in my voice. I reached for the zipper and began to open the door of the tent when Alexa grabbed my arm. "Wait," she whispered. Then, in a louder voice, called out, "Anthony! Richard!" The footsteps stopped, and there was silence. After a moment, however, the footsteps continued, growing louder as they approached the tent. I sat still, tense, waiting. Whoever was outside apparently had no interest in joining.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Us, however, the steps came right to the side of the tent, paused for a moment, and then the anonymous figure began to walk again, circling us. Alexa was a statue. She had bitten down on the sleeve of her sweater, and only her eyes moved in their sockets as she followed the sound of the footsteps around the tent. After the figure had walked around us a few times, the suspense began to wear off on me. It dawned on me that it was most likely Anthony pulling a prank. Something like this would be right up his alley. Becoming more sure of myself with each passing moment, I reached for the zipper and tugged, calling out as I did so. "Oh, for God's sakes, Anthony, you son of a—" And then, less than 3 feet away, came that awful screeching. It was hard to tell where the sound ended and Alexa's screaming began. I was paralyzed. There was no doubt at that point that the sound wasn't a bird. It wasn't a bat. It wasn't some big mountain cat. No, that was the most insane, malevolent screeching I had ever heard. I sat motionless as Alexa squealed back in the corner away from the sound. I slowly managed to regain my nerves as I heard the footsteps begin to move away from the campsite. Steeling myself, I began to reach for the zipper. I had to see. I had to know what it was. Through the small opening I had made, I peered past the campfire at the woodline beyond and my breath stopped. Just outside the light of the fire, between the trees and the darkness, I saw eyes staring at me. Glowing red eyes. Eyes the size of footballs, blazing through the darkness into mine. Alexa crouched further back into the tent, digging her nails into her knees. What is it? When I did nothing but stare in horrified, transfixed silence again. What the F is it? I was gathering my nerve to tell her to run, to tear through the opening of the tent and run as fast as she could back to the car. To run and not think a second thought about me, about Anthony, about Richard. When suddenly the eyes disappeared. I blinked, registering what had happened when an unfamiliar voice yelled out, "Hey, what the hell?" Rustling sounds came from the woods, sounds of a scuffle, followed by Anthony yelling out, "The jig is up, a-holes!" With that, Anthony came running into the clearing, holding what looked like a large keyboard. Behind him came two burly, haggard-looking men, both wearing hunting jackets and appeared more annoyed than malicious. "Get back here, you little bastard! That shit costs money!" one yelled as they ran after Anthony. Our friend whirled around as he reached the tent and held the object over his head, yelling back to them. come any closer and I'll smash the damn thing that costs money. The second of the pair, a larger, bearder man who had been following slightly behind the first, grabbed the other man's arm and brought him to a stop. Might as well calm down, Brantley. They got this. The two stood halfway between us and the woodline, their faces faintly visible in the campfire. The sheer absurdity of it all helped me break my reverie. What the hell is going on? I said, my abject terror quickly succumbing to an incredulous irritation. What's happening here, Anthony replied, is that after I couldn't catch up with Richie, I came walking back and stumbled upon these dickheads flashing lights and blasting weird sounds into the woods with this thing. He held the object in his hand out towards me. In the glow of the firelight, I could tell that it was some kind of control board. A nice one, probably for a sound system.
Be careful with that,
the apparent leader of the duo said, carefully holding his hand out in a gesture of concern. Like I said, shit costs money. Now calm down and hand it over and we could all be on our way. Like hell, dude, Anthony spat back. He held the control board out over the still crackling fire. The two of you are going to give us some answers or else I'm scorching this piece of crap.
All right, man, damn, one of the men said.
This one had been the first into the clearing and looked younger than the first and clean-shaven.
It's all a hoax, okay? We come out here with this stuff and get the campers all stirred up, and they run and tell their friends they done come across the devil himself out here. Then they get the hell gone in a hurry, got it?
It was absolutely ridiculous. This whole legend I had built up in my head, excited to finally see something even faintly supernatural, could all be boiled down to a couple of rednecks just scaring folks? Got it. A voice trembled from the left to where the two men stood. None of us had noticed that Alexa had crept out of the tent, taking in the scene and slowly walking in a semicircle towards the interlopers. Got it? She screamed as she rustled forward, one of her hiking boots in hand, and started swinging it at the younger man. He threw up his hands to block the blows and backed away as Alexa came on. Got it, you son of a bee? We come out here? Whack. You scare us? Whack. Have to frickin' whack. Death? You stupid redneck mother effers? Yeah, we frickin' got it. She continued striking the smaller man until his friend moved forward and slowly stepped between them. Holding up his hands, he said,
"Okay now, darling, that's enough.
I get y'all are pissed, but look at it from our angle. We get folks sneaking up and down all the time, leaving beer cans and weed butts and all that kind of trash that we have to clean up. So sometimes we come out here to scare little thrill seekers like y'all off. We can't help that the state decided to put the damn sign out there on the road. But contrary to popular belief, these woods are actually private property. Our property. So pissed or not, we're gonna need you to take your temper and your friends over there and get the hell on down the road. Understand?" Anthony Forever, the diplomat, replied, "I understand that you could kiss my balls." The man shrugged.
"Have it your way. Go ahead and stick around. We'll have the law out here in a half an hour. Now, unless you want to be charged with injuring personal property on top of trespassing, I'd hand that piece of equipment back over."
"Oh, I'll frickin' hand it over," Anthony said.
He held it high over his head, preparing to slam it into the fire. When I grabbed his arm.
"Nah, man," I said. "It's not worth it. We might as well go back. Clearly there's nothing to see out here anyways."
I pulled the board out of his hands and took it to the larger man.
"We'll pack up and go," I said, handing it over. "But you two could still get fucked."
The man smirked.
"Good call, kid."
With that, he motioned to the younger of the pair and they walked back into the woods. There isn't much to tell about the next half hour. We packed up our gear and took it back to the truck, mumbling about the weird, ignorant folks that came stumbling upon us in the sticks, debating whether we could get back to the campus in time to catch the last of the Halloween festivities. Anthony and Alexa could sense my disappointment at how things had gone, so they offered to go back and get Richard while I kicked back at the car and took a nap.
I woke up about an hour later to find that no one had returned. I pulled out my phone to call them, but I had no service. After about 10 more minutes had passed, I still hadn't heard anything. I got impatient and started back in the direction of the clearing, my maglite cutting a powerful beam of light through the trees. As I walked, I could hear the usual sounds of the nighttime forest around me. Crickets, frogs, the occasional hoot of an owl. When a rustling would come from a tree above me, I knew it was just a squirrel. Or a raccoon. Under different circumstances, I may have been spooked, but that feeling had gone as it became apparent that the only thing haunting these woods were a couple of beer-bellied rednecks that had too much time on their hands. I came to the clearing and paused, listened for a sign that my friends were on their way back. Greeted with silence, I crossed to the far side where Richard had retreated earlier. Going through the foliage, I could vaguely make out a path where he had torn through leaves and limbs in his panic. "Richard? Guys?" I called out to no response. I left the clearing behind and followed the crude trail into the darkness. After several minutes, the woods began to open up and I lost sight of markers showing where Richard had gone earlier. I paused, pondering what to do next. God forbid I wander off in the wrong direction just as everyone else returned to the car. As I stood there, I remembered the survivalist tip Richard had mentioned in the past. I pulled out a knife and cut through the bark on a nearby tree.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Leaving the mark that I could follow back when needed. My way back out secured, I carried on. As I progressed further in, marking trees as I went, a sense of dread came over me. I wasn't sure what it was at first. Was it the disorientation from wandering in an unfamiliar forest? Something in the air? The nagging thought in the back of my head of what would happen if my friends had ran into the two rednecks again and they weren't quite so friendly this time? Then it occurred to me, the forest was silent. The chirps, the rustling, the hooting of the owls had all died away at some point and I hadn't noticed until that moment. I didn't have time to reflect on this. I had barely registered the thought before I heard Alexa's voice screaming, "Michael!" through the darkness up ahead. I broke into a sprint, knocking past the underbrush, running to the sound of her voice as Anthony's joined in yelling, "Michael, where are you? We need your help!" Soon I could see a glow up ahead. Flashlights. From a distance, I could see two shapes leaning over a third. As I approached, it came into focus. Anthony and Alexa were kneeling down, shining their lights on the collapsed form of Richard, seizing and writhing on the ground in a clearing up ahead. From what I could see, he appeared to be coughing up blood. "Those bastards," I thought to myself as I approached. The frickin' hicks that had way too much pride in their land had attacked Richard and left him to bleed out in the wilderness. Just wait until we get our friend back to the car and contact the authorities. They'll be spending the rest of their lives in prison. But first, I needed to get to Richard and help stop the bleeding. As I broke through the brush, almost falling upon my friends, a strong hand grabbed the back of my jacket and yanked me away. I turned and found myself nose to nose with the bearded man, his hand still gripped firmly on the back of my jacket.
"Stay the F away,"
he growled at me. I twisted and turned from his grip, and as I did, I pulled my right arm back and came back around with a wild swing aimed straight for his jaw. He managed to deflect and struggled with me, grappling, trying to bring me to the ground. I grabbed him with both arms and was able to bring my knee up to his groin, at which point he thrusted me away. Falling onto the ground, I pulled myself to my feet to run towards my friends. The bearded man collected himself and grabbed at my jacket as I was standing, but I jerked away and ran, and I froze. Standing on one foot, stopped dead in my tracks, I stood nose to nose with Anthony. The phrase nose to nose is used from time to time, but I was literally a centimeter from touching noses with my friend as he stood calmly, staring into mine with eyes that weren't his own, a light smile on his face. In fact, there didn't seem to be much eyes at all, just two dark, black, empty spaces where his eyes should have been.
"Michael, help us," he whispered. "Richard needs you."
"Stay away, kid!"
The bearded man had risen to his feet behind me. "Don't listen to that thing!" I looked down to see my foot was planted in a soft bed of pine needles that came to an abrupt end, less than an inch from where it was planted. Beyond that was a barren ground upon which my friend stood. Looking up, I could faintly tell in the moonlight darkness that the lifeless ground made up a small circle, encompassing Richard and Alexa in the background.
"Michael, you brought us here," Anthony continued. "You let this happen. You need to help your friend."
Almost on cue, Richard started coughing up blood behind him. Alexa kneeled beside his body, staring into me with the same lifeless eyes, beckoning me to come tend to him. I collapsed backwards, falling to the ground as I stared dumbfounded at what once had been my best friends in the world.
"Not coming to join us? That's a shame,"
Anthony went on, the same empty smile on his face. "We could have had an awesome time together." Alexa walked towards us, and Richard got up as well. They came to stand on either side of Anthony, looking down on me with an unnatural glee upon their cold faces.
"Don't be such a frickin' baby," Alexa said.
"Yeah," Richard continued. "You guys were right. There really isn't anything to be afraid of."
When I crawled backward, cringing at the sight of my friends, Anthony sneered.
"Alas, our good buddy has decided to abandon us. No matter one way or another, everyone ends up where we are."
With that, the trio stepped back, and as they did, a disembodied pair of eyes faded into view behind them. A red pair of eyes, each as large as boulders, hanging suspended in the air above their heads.
"We'll see you soon, my dude," the thing that was once Anthony said. I blacked out.
When I came to, I was laying on a couch in the living room of an old farmhouse, a tweed blanket tucked nearly over me. The two rednecks, turns out their names were Frank and Roland, were there, and they explained to me the nature of their game. The clearing had always been there. The natives had avoided it for most of their history, although it is said that at certain times they occasionally offered sacrifices to it, but there was no real evidence of it. Once the European settlers had arrived, a few close enough to know what it was had good sense to keep it a secret and keep their distance. But of course, there was always a loose-lipped passerby that would tell the tale of the evil circle at the next tavern he wandered into. And through the generations, the tale of the Devil's Clearing would become a folk legend, enticing those searching for something beyond the mundane to seek it out. For a time, the church could hold off curious travelers at bay, threatening them with damnation if they seek out the forbidden ground. But as time went on, a more secular world demanded more secular tactics. Letting people know what was there obviously wouldn't work. That was the draw in the first place. And covering it up wouldn't work. That would just add to the mystique, considering the legend was already on the lips of any drunk in a nearby bar wishing to tell a story. The answer the locals had finally settled on was to build a clearing closer to the nearest thoroughfare and salt the earth, carefully tending a barren patch of ground, and scaring any trespassers with honky effects in the hope of convincing them that it wasn't worthwhile to explore in the first place. Of course, that didn't always work. On the rare occasions an intrepid explorer went in search of the real clearing and was able to find it, the local authorities would head up the search party, not that any body would ever be found, and lead the teams on paths that conveniently managed to skirt around the abominable place. Eventually, as with any missing person's case that never bears fruit, the people would begin to accept the loss and move on. That was 6 months ago. I swore never to speak of the clearing, lest more kids as curious as me go out in search of it. And when the police questioned me about the knowledge of my friend's disappearance in the following days, I simply told them the truth. Richard got scared and ran into the woods. Then Anthony and Alexa went to find him while I waited in the car. That was the last I saw of them. I know that was the last I really saw of them. Those things in the circle that looked like them were anything but. I refused to join the search party. I could keep my mouth shut and let the locals handle it the way they always had. But I drew the line at going anywhere near that place again. I held on to that conviction for months. I hoped that as time went along, I could be able to forget. But I keep seeing them everywhere I look. I don't sleep at night anymore. I lay in bed with my eyes shut tight, knowing that the moment I open them, my friends will be there, clinging to the ceiling, beckoning me to come home with them as they grin and stare with those lifeless obsidian eyes. Therapy hasn't worked either, nor the mountains of medication or rivers of alcohol I've drowned myself in trying to make it stop. Every night it's still the same. Sometimes they tell me that it's not bad at all. They're actually living out a blissful existence that never had to end. Other times they scream and wail, saying it's my fault and only if I had come back that it might have eased their suffering a little. At any rate, whatever hell they have found themselves in, the one I've been in since that night can't be any better. One way or another, this has to end. I didn't pack a bag. I don't think I'm going to need one. Even the flashlight seemed like a bit much. Somehow I feel that it'll make sure I find my way there. I guess, even now, I still need to know. Believe this story or not, I don't care. Just one piece of advice to anyone who finds this. For your own sake, don't come looking for me.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.